Scriptures, let us first come before our God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that you've revealed to us who you are, what you've done, and then also what it is that you require of us, that we may live lives pleasing to you. We ask this morning, as we hear your word, that you would, by your Spirit, do its work in us, that you enable us to hear it and to receive it, that you would apply it to our hearts and to our lives, that we may become a more godly people, filled with love for you and seeking to do your will and your pleasure in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, we are looking at verses 19 through 34 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19 and reading through verse 34. This is God's word. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is God's word. As many of you know, Pastor Jeff and myself are doing a short mini-series on stewardship, on giving, on finances, all those matters. And the text before us today is a very important text. It's a text that's often talked about when churches deal with these kinds of issues. And the reason it's so important is because it's dealing with foundational heart issues. And of course, the immediate context here of Jesus speaking these words is he's dealing with issues of the heart and money, but it's so much bigger than just about finances. Especially when you look at the whole context of the chapter and what Jesus has been dealing with up to the point of verse 19. As he begins to turn and deal with the heart issues of where your treasure is, what it is that you seek first, you see that it applies not just to money, but to all that we do and all that we are. In the context here, especially in chapter 6, Jesus has been dealing with issues of hypocrisy. In the first section, he's responding to those who give to the poor, who give to the needy. But they're not doing it because they have a concern for the poor. They're not doing it because they recognize the blessings that God has given them and they're trying to be good stewards and bless others, they're doing it as hypocrites, seeking the praise of man. And Jesus rebukes them. He has this famous saying here, that do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. He rebukes them for their hypocrisy, doing what is good, but not for the praise and glory and honor of God, but for their own praise and glory. He then turns to the matter of prayer. Prayer is a great thing. But hypocrites, again, pray loudly in public to receive the praise of others. And Jesus says, no, that is not the right way to pray. Pray in secret to your Heavenly Father. And then he deals with fasting. Fasting is another good godly discipline. But these hypocrites, when they would fast, they would do it in a way to show how great and godly they are, their great discipline, marring their appearance, looking gloomy, disfiguring their faces while they fast, that everyone can see how great they are. In all three of these examples, these are good, godly things, giving to the poor, praying and fasting, and yet they are done by hearts not tuned to Jesus. But they are done with hearts desiring the treasure of the praise of man. That's the context that we now move into in verses 19 and following, as Jesus will return to this heart issue again and again of treasure, of what you seek first. Here he's applying it to money, but we see it's not just about money. But it's an important question for all of us. What is it that's most important to us? What is it that we desire most in our hearts? What is it that is the priority of our lives? And the question we face is it Jesus and the glory of the kingdom of heaven? Or is it our own whims and desires? We see in the beginning here in verses 19 through 20, we see a dual command from Jesus. A negative and a positive. The negative is, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. And then in verse 20, the positive, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. What does it mean when Jesus says to not lay up treasures on earth, but that we should be rather laying up treasures in heaven? In many ways, it's very obvious, but it's a very important thing to get straight. He's contrasting two different kinds of treasures. There's a treasure of this world, and there's a treasure of heaven. And what are the treasures of this world? But all the good things in this life. Money, possessions, status, fame, family. There could be all kinds of different treasures. And these aren't all bad things. But there's a problem, though, when those good things, the good things in this life, have a larger hold on our hearts than they should. Is money a bad thing? No, it's not. The Bible nowhere says that money is a bad thing. And in fact, even in the Proverbs that we just read, there is praise of stewardship. Is family a bad thing? Are possessions a bad thing? No, they're not. But when they become our special treasure in this world, they do become a bad thing. And Jesus even emphasizes here from nature the futility of placing a hope or an overvaluing of the things of this world. When you look around, moth and rust destroy. Moths destroy clothing. Rust destroys precious metals. And even if that's enough, thieves break in and steal. There is never security in this life in regards to the treasures of this world. Things will come and take them away. There's a reason if you look at the if you remember back to the history, or if you've read about the history of the great Wall Street crash back in the right before the Great Depression. How was it that people responded to that? Why was it that suicide spiked so significantly during that event, because that revealed what their treasure was. And when it was all taken away, they had no hope. There is a futility here of placing a trust or overvaluing the things of this world. They will not last. But in contrast to the treasures of this world that are just for a moment and then they disappear, there's another treasure, the treasures of heaven, where Jesus says there is neither moth nor rust that destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. If you remember back when Pastor Jeff was preaching through Ephesians, one of the things he was emphasizing, especially in the beginning, is this great glory that Paul's talking about, that we have now every spiritual blessing in Christ, and it is going to be greater when we're in heaven. We experience tastes of it now, and it belongs to us, but we're going to experience the glory of that later. And that's part of the greatness of belonging to Jesus. And in Colossians, he says in chapter 3 that we are to be focused on the heavenly places where Jesus is, our Savior and the groom of the church. He is our goal. He is our satisfaction. And he has gone there to prepare a place for us, all the blessings and riches of knowing God and experiencing that relationship belong to us as believers, and we will experience the fullness of that in heaven. Those are true and real riches. And part of the greatness is that there's nothing that can take them away. Satan can't break into heaven and steal away those blessings. There's nothing that can destroy them. They don't degrade. They don't rust. They don't naturally deteriorate and go away. But the confidence of the Christian is that the joy and pleasures and rewards of knowing Christ are ours forever, and they cannot be lost. So let me ask you a question. Which one's better? Which one's better? The temporary pleasures of this world that will pass away and never fulfill, or the glory, the joys, and the pleasures of knowing God, of knowing Christ, of following Him, and enjoying those rewards forever? There's no comparison. There's no comparison between the two. One is infinitely better than the others. Earth is a bad investment. It's going to burn up. It's going to go away. But heaven is the best investment, as it will last forever. And so Jesus continues with the principle then. We have these dual commands. Do not lay for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And then he lays out this principle in verse 21 that connects to these. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure reflects where your heart is. Your treasure reflects where your heart is. When we look at the beginning of the chapter, we see a lot of examples of people and where their treasure was, where their heart was. Those who gave to the needy, those who prayed in public with pomp, those who made their fasting public and known to all, their treasure was not treasures of heaven. It wasn't following Christ. It wasn't pleasing Him. It wasn't showing their love for Jesus in this world. Their treasure was the praise and glory of man. And Jesus said, they have received their reward in this life, and they will not receive a reward in the next. There's a seriousness here about this principle, this question of where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is your heart longing after the things of this world? Or is your heart geared and focused on the treasures of Christ? And that's a scary thing, because it is so often the case that we do pursue the things of this world. But the call of Christ is to be willing to sacrifice all of that to follow Him. To be able to sacrifice all of that to follow Him. He gives two illustrations here. The illustration of the eye in verses 22 and 23, then the illustration of two masters in verse 24, to get at the importance and the seriousness of what he's talking about. Verses 22 and 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? It's a very simple illustration, just taken from nature, from our own anatomy. How is it that we are able to experience light? But it's through the eyes. And if our eyes are working well, then we can see well. We know what things are. We can see rightly, and we are filled with light. But if our eyes don't work well, that's a problem. I have particularly bad eyesight. If I take my glasses off, I can't tell who you are. In fact, I couldn't even read the Bible without getting right up in it. My eyesight is that bad. That's not a good thing. And in fact, or even worse, if you were blind and you had no light at all, it would be just darkness always. For those who, you know, if you haven't experienced that, we can't even imagine what that is like for someone who suffers blindness. That darkness is all that they experience all the time. But this isn't just about physical sight. Jesus is using this illustration to talk about spiritual sight. The eyes of the heart. Where the eyes of the heart are oriented helps lead the life. What is it? Do you see clearly? Do you see well? Are you oriented towards heaven? Are the eyes of your heart oriented towards Jesus and towards heaven? Because if they are, they will see well. And you will live well. But if they aren't, and they're taken down from the glories of heaven and focused only on the treasures of this earth, they will be dim and it will be darkness, and it will not be a good spiritual life for you. You see the same thing happening in verse 24. Famously, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. One of my favorite things to read about is actually spies and espionage, especially during World War II and the Cold War. It's just a lot of very interesting stories about things that have happened. But one of the things you see in the history of espionage is you see double agents. And double agents are an application of this principle. You think they're working on one side, but they actually hate that side. And they're a double agent actually working for the enemy, because that's who they love. They cannot serve one side and the other. A spy can't serve Great Britain and Germany during World War II. They're enemies. They're opposed to each other. It's a contradiction. He will serve the one that he truly cares about. That's the one who is his true master. And the same applies for us when we consider the riches of this world and the riches of Christ. If you care about the riches of this world, you will not be able to follow Christ. Listen to how sharply he makes this distinction. He says you cannot serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve them both. There's a sharp contrast, and part of that reason is because the call of Christ is to be willing to give up everything to follow Him. And so if you are devoted to Christ, you cannot hold on to things of this world. You have to be willing to give them up. I want to be clear, this isn't to say that money is bad, as I've mentioned already. This isn't to say that there aren't good things in this world, but they cannot be a master. For we only have one master, and that is the one who bought us, Jesus Christ. If you follow Him, you will be willing to sacrifice and give up the other. The following verses then, verses 25 through 34, are then an application of what Jesus has been talking about here. So we may ask the question at this point, okay, yes, my treasure is Jesus. My treasure is the glories of heaven. That is what I want, and that is what I want to pursue even in this life. So I'm not going to be pursuing money and all those things as the world does. But we still have needs in this world. And as great as the treasures of heaven are, they're in heaven. And that doesn't feed my stomach. That doesn't provide a house. What is it that we'll eat or drink or wear? And so in verses 25 and following, Jesus responds to this potential fear or anxiety or issue we may have as we try to live godly lives, pursuing Christ and the glories of His kingdom over the glory of this world. It's natural to be concerned and worry about how is it that we're just going to live on a practical day-to-day level. And so what does Jesus say? He says, "Do not be anxious for your needs." Do not be anxious for your needs. And there's three reasons why He gives for that. The first is, you are valuable to God. Listen to the illustrations that He uses here. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And then dropping down, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. God cares for the birds. They don't plant. They don't farm. They don't have barns or storehouses. Yet He provides for them. And what about even the grass, the lilies of the field? Verse 29, He says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We need to realize if you go back and you read about Solomon's reign, one of the themes you'll see come out of the Old Testament is the glory and the riches. There's gold everywhere. It's all these great wealth and possessions. When Jesus is making this comparison, it is not a small thing. And He says that's nothing to the glory of the lilies of the field that God made. And what happens to them? They're cut and burned. They disappear. They fade so quickly. And if God cares about that, providing for that, how much more valuable are you, Christian, His child, that He's going to forget about you? Elsewhere, Jesus uses the example of giving gifts to children. Now, there are bad parents out there, but generally we know the good parents, they love their children and they provide and give good gifts to their children. And Jesus says, if your son asks for a loaf of bread, are you going to give him a stone? Of course not. That's a terrible gift. If he's asking for food, you don't give him a rock. God is your Father. And he loves you. He values you. He cares for you. If he's willing to provide and care for these lowly things of the world, birds and grass, of course he's going to provide for you. Another reason we are not to be anxious is because he knows all that we need. We see this in verse 32. He says, the Gentiles seek after all these. They seek after food and drink and clothes, all those things in this world. They're anxious about them. They seek after them. The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Yes, he provides for the grass. He provides for the birds. And he knows what you need. He's not ignorant. He didn't forget. He knows what his children need. And so we can have a confidence not to be anxious, not to worry, because he will provide. And that's the final reason why. We see the example in nature. We know that he knows our needs. In verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You don't just have the examples in nature, and you don't just have the comfort that he knows your condition. Jesus promises as well, these things will be added to you. So why worry? Why be anxious? Why be concerned about all these things? Focus rather on the treasures of Christ, and God will take care of them. Verse 33 then connects back to verse 21, is back to that same heart issue. So he's dealing with all these practical things. That's really the core here, the heart issue. Seeking first the kingdom of God, and he will take care of you. As we consider our hearts, we ask questions about our hearts and their love for God. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to ask the question, how often is it that in our lives God receives the leftovers? How often is it that God receives the leftovers from us? How often is it that financially that's the case? We give after we've taken care of all of the other things, not just our needs, but sometimes even our pleasures too. How often is it that our time, after we finished watching all the Netflix shows, that then we'll spend time with God? How often is it in our relationships that God gets just the scraps? I know I've done it. And I've talked to many that they would say the same thing. Yes, we love Jesus. But sometimes he's right about here. And our wants and pleasures are up here. We love Jesus, yes, but sometimes he's just here. And everything else crowds it out a little bit. But what does Jesus say? He doesn't say seek second or third. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is to be every Christian's first priority. Before my dad became a Christian, he used to think that if you're really a Christian, you had to be either a pastor or a missionary. And ironically, the way that God saved him was through the story of a football coach who was a Christian. And that was the first time that my dad saw a picture of someone who was fully devoted to Jesus, who wasn't a pastor or a missionary. He was a football coach. You don't think of football, well, this was pre-Tim Tebow. You don't think of football and think Christian. That wasn't normal. And my dad saw that picture and realized that dedication to Christ, seeking the kingdom of God first, was the first priority above everything else, and it belonged to everyone, not just pastors and missionaries. Of course, in God's sense of humor, my dad then became a missionary. But it's not just for the professional Christians, as Jeff might call us. This is for everyone. To seek first the kingdom of God, to seek first the kingdom of God in all areas of our life. For our finances, for our time, for the things that we invest in, for our families, for our work, everything we do, that is the first priority. Are we serving Christ well in the individual areas that He has called us? Because that is what Jesus cares about. He cares about our hearts. And He is to be the first thing, the most important thing. He is our treasure. That is what we are called for. And that is where we so often fall short. I would encourage you this week as you meditate upon this, to specifically meditate on the person of Christ, what He's done, and on the glories of heaven as well. Instead of J.I. Packer, who passed away last year, instead of J.I. Packer, that every day he would walk and meditate on heaven. Because that's what he was looking forward to. That's what he wanted. That was his glory and treasure, heaven, and enjoying the glory of the presence of Jesus, his Savior, who loved him and whom he loved. Take the time to meditate and know the love of Jesus for you. To think about the Son of God come out of His love for you to die and bleed for you, to suffer for you. Know that love. And as you meditate and know the love of Christ, let that fill your heart to respond in love for Him. How ungrateful is it to have someone who sacrifices everything for your good? And for you then not to reciprocate. As we know the love of Christ, respond also in that love and desire the presence and glory of Jesus above all else. Consider the glories of heaven, the glories of the passing away of this broken, fallen world, and the enjoyment of the smiling face of Jesus who bought you and saved you. As we consider those things, as our hearts are turned and oriented to the treasure of Christ first and His kingdom first above all else, let that then play out in your lives. Seek out those areas that aren't putting Christ first and then work to change that by His strength. But it begins first with that being filled with Christ's love, knowing His love for you and growing in your love for Him. And as you experience that joy, it'll change everything else. We'll sing in a moment. We're doing a different hymn than's in the bulletin. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, because it captures so beautifully that picture in the chorus. As we look upon Jesus, what happens to the things of this world? They turn strangely dim as we know the glory of Jesus. Everything else just fades away. And it's wonderful. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we We ask this day that you would fill our hearts with the love of Christ, that we would know the wonderful things you've done for us, that we would know your unending, incredible love for us, and that you would turn our hearts to you, that we would seek and love and adore you above all else. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.